This is Sustainable East End, a monthly program about issues of land use, energy and water resources, food industries, and transportation on the Twin Forks of Long Island. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, co-producer with Tony Ernst. The MTA's capital plan for mass transit has a $14 billion shortfall in its proposed $32 billion 2015 to 2019 budget. Today, we look at how transit is funded for Long Island and Connecticut with Veronica Vanterpool, Executive Director of the Tri-State Transportation Campaign. Well, Veronica Vanterpool, welcome to Sustainable East End.
Thank you.
Now, you are the Executive Director of the Tri-State Transportation Campaign. Give us an overview of what that campaign does.
The Tri-State Transportation Campaign is a nonprofit policy advocacy organization. We work throughout New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut on sustainable transportation policy. And what that means is improved and increased investment in public transportation systems, ensuring that our communities are designed in a way to reduce sprawl, so development is concentrated around rail and bus hubs, and that our streets are safe for all users, pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorists.
And what are some of the biggest challenges that the campaign is facing right now?
Transportation funding is a challenge that we encounter across the entire tri-state geography. We live in a very densely populated region, for the most part by comparison to the rest of the country, with a good deal of transportation infrastructure, both on the roadway side, but certainly on the transit side. And maintaining that infrastructure, which is quite old, particularly in New York, our transit systems are about 110 years old. Our roadway network is decades old. Our bridges, many of them are over 100 years old. So there's quite a challenge in finding the funding to not only repair a lot of our existing transportation infrastructure, but maintain that regularly and periodically, but then also finding the funds to invest and expand the systems that we have. So that remains one of the biggest challenges that we see in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Such a big challenge that it's a perennial funding issue. It's an issue that comes up in the legislative session and in the budget season for each of the three states every year.
And we have unfortunately seen some pretty serious accidents, particularly rail accidents recently. There was, of course, the accident in Pennsylvania on the Amtrak line, Metro North in the last year or so. Talk a little bit about how the states plan to address basically the infrastructure, you know, shortfall here.
Well, it's important to sort of separate the issues. So Amtrak is the nation's railroad, really, and is primarily funded by Congress. So that's a whole lot of funding discussion that we can certainly get into. But with regards to the accidents on the Metro North, the causes of both those accidents, both the Metro North and Amtrak, are still under investigation, as we know, and it's not entirely clear what factors led to all of those different, the outcome for that. Obviously, for Metro North, we know what happened there, but there were some other equipment issues that are still being investigated. So I think we have to be very careful when we're talking about any sort of correlation between those accidents and investment. But I think what's important to note is that our railroad systems are inadequately funded, and that does limit the amount of communication systems, signal systems, security systems that they can put in place. That is the larger conversation and dialogue. So what's happening at the state and the federal level is, right now, as we speak, the House is going to be debating how much to cut bike and pedestrian funding for our railroads and other transit systems, and programs, competitive federal programs that support new transit initiatives. So that's what's happening at the federal level. It's very bleak, and it does not bode well for improved security and maintenance moving forward. At the state level, we're seeing challenges at the state level to really fund the infrastructure need for the railroad system. There's an arrangement with the Connecticut Department of Transportation to provide that service, but the infrastructure there is quite outdated. There's bridges that are 105 years old that get stuck in the open position when they're open to allow ships to pass under. We see the same thing in New York. And the states, what they really need to do is find new revenue sources, and that transportation funding is a political issue. It's a political problem. We've seen lots of proposals move forward, but we've not seen quite the leadership, a lot of those proposals to fruition, where they're actually passing new revenue sources. In Connecticut, Governor Malloy was very successful in increasing the gas tax in 2013, and very successful in this most recent budget, securing 0.5% of the sales tax and dedicating that to transportation, which is great. But at the same time, funding in the general budget that would have been dedicated to transportation will not be made. So we're seeing a lot of sort of fiscal gimmicks in all of the three states, particularly in New Jersey. I know our conversation is not so much about New Jersey, but we do see a lot of fiscal gimmickry when it comes to funding our transportation systems, and that's a big problem.
The Malloy administration proposed billions for transit improvements in the budget that's being debated now in Hartford, and there's been a threat from Aetna and GE and other big businesses that they would leave the state if this was passed. Why is that?
You know, I think that is a very unfortunate position for these big corporations to take. I know Travelers was also part of that discussion with GE and Aetna, and the reason I say that is because clearly, the businesses and corporate entities that have relocated and or have been based in Connecticut benefit from having the Metro North and Amtrak run through the state and serve those corridors where a lot of these major employers are. And yet, the Special Transportation Fund for the state of Connecticut, no revenue is generated specifically from the corporate or the business community. By comparison, in New York, there are quite a few fees on the business community. One of them is the payroll mobility tax, where a percentage of payrolls above $1 million, and there's some exemptions. Schools are exempt, libraries are exempt, but there is a percentage of payroll that is dedicated to public transportation, mass transit. Businesses certainly, again, rely on having a transportation network that allows their employees to get to and from work easily, but also to attract a very diverse labor pool. So for that sort of ultimatum or threat to be given, I think, shows that there's a disconnect between the importance of a well-invested transportation network, specifically transit network, and the value it brings to economic productivity, job access, and job growth within the Connecticut business community. What I would love to see or hear more discussion about is how the business community in Connecticut can be more of a contributor to funding Connecticut's transportation network, much like it is in New York.
But New York is not doing as well as it probably should. I mean, we're out here on the east end of Long Island, and every morning and evening there's the trade parade. The single east-west four-lane highway is backed up. I mean, the traffic is horrendous, and of course it gets a lot worse during the summer. They were proposing shuttle trains to go from Spionk to Montauk. But the MTA and the LIRR abandoned the project last year for bringing additional rail service to the East End. Why did this happen, and is there anything that they plan to put in its place?
You're absolutely right that New York is not doing good enough. And that really is, again, coming back to transportation funding as a political issue and then a political problem when that issue is not solved. So the MTA has two options to cut savings and generate revenue. One option would be to raise fares. No one wants that. Another option is to cut service, and certainly no one wants that. And when we're discussing the capital needs in the MTA region, which of course includes Long Island and service on that you've just discussed from Spion to Montauk, we're talking about capital needs that are not being fully met. The MTA's current proposed capital program for 2015-2019 has not yet been fully approved, and we're already 6 months into 2015. Not been fully approved. It's a $32 billion program with a $14 billion funding gap. What that means is a lot of projects are not going to get done if that $14 billion hole is not closed. Now, the projects that make up that $32 billion capital program are mostly state of good repair. So how does this tie into the question that you just asked? That is an additional service beyond. That would be considered an expansion of service, the Spion to Montauk. There's not enough money right now to cover what's known as basic needs or state of good repair. So how can the agency look to expand service when it can't even fund day-to-day maintenance needs? Things that most of us as commuters may not see, new signals, new fans underground in the subway system, new track work out on Long Island, new stations, for example, for stations that have been around on the system for over 100 years. So it's difficult to talk about expansion of service when you can't even talk about meeting the basic needs of the system that we have. And that is the problem with some of these ideas not coming to fruition.
And it just seems to me that this is extremely short-sighted in a time when population is going up, traffic is getting worse and worse, and it can, the kind of traffic that we see out here, I understand, is a pretty significant contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. Is that right?
That's correct. In the state of New York, the transportation sector is the second largest emitter of greenhouse gas emissions. In Connecticut, it's number one. In New Jersey, it's number one as a sector. So that is absolutely true, which is why we advocate for alternatives to driving. We really, at our organization, have an environmental core, and that is we want people to drive less. We want less greenhouse gas emissions. And the best way to do that is to provide alternatives for people to drive. Some people must rely on their cars because they have no other choice. And then you see the growth in traffic congestion and the impact that that has on the environment, on economic productivity, and quite frankly, quality of life, as people are stuck tens of hours, you know, a week in traffic congestion. So creating these alternatives through public transportation, through bike and pedestrian infrastructure, there is an environmental goal there, and it is an environmental means. This investment is an environmental pathway and means to achieving sustainability, particularly on Long Island, where it is such a car-dependent location, community, island.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the MTA is spending an enormous amount on the East Side connection in New York City, the Grand Central connection for the LIRR. What's your opinion on this project and, you know, the timeline for it? And do you think it's going to really help the situation?
Definitely. I think, you know, the Long Island Railroad has been around since 1844. That is a significant amount of time and quite a historical railroad. And East Side Access is a project that we've supported. We think it's incredibly important to just improving the commutes for Long Island residents who do work in New York City, certainly just not Manhattan, but even into Queens, into the outer boroughs. And certainly for the many people who work on Long Island, who do not live on Long Island, it's critical. East Side Access is really going to increase the frequency of trains and provide more access, more trains, 65% more. That's a really significant increase in train frequency. And it's going to add more than 30,000 peak hour seats. That is a huge change. And it would also shave 40 minutes off of a round-trip daily commute into the east side. That generates significant benefits, and that just is more of an incentive for people to not drive when you have a good transportation option. And what this does, East Side Access does, is improve the transportation option, which then incentivizes more people to use that option and then leave their cars at home. The impact that's going to have on traffic congestion would also be really significant. So we've been very supportive of this project. It's a huge infrastructure project, but it's been not without its controversy. It's over budget and it's delayed again. Right now, it's the anticipated completion date is 2023. It used to be 2022, and the price tag was somewhere around $8 billion when it's first proposed, and now that cost has soared to $10.2 billion. So clearly, the MTA needs to improve its contracting processes and deliver projects that instill confidence amongst their customers, because there's a good deal of frustration at the pace and the cost of a lot of these projects. But having said that, this is a project that is needed for Long Island. Long Island cannot continue to grow without making these sorts of investments in its rail infrastructure and its bus infrastructure and its bus service, because there's a significant portion of Nassau and Suffolk County residents who rely on the bus because they have no other choice. So I want to be clear about saying that bus investment is really important. There's 8% of households in Nassau do not have access to a vehicle at all, and 5% in Suffolk. So we want to make sure that there's opportunities for access for those individuals also.
This is listener-supported WPKN, and you're listening to Sustainable East End. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, asking you to call 203-384-9756. Make a pledge to keep this and other public affairs and music programs on the air. Not near a phone? You can go to WPKN.org and click on the Donate button. Make a one-time contribution or a monthly donation. Thank you. You're listening to Sustainable East End on WPKN. We're talking with Veronica Vanderpool of the Tri-State Transportation Campaign. So you say that this is, you know, over budget and delayed. I lived in Massachusetts at the time that the Big Dig was happening, and it was incredibly over budget and delayed. And what has emerged in subsequent years is that was, you know, due to a fair amount of corruption. I just wonder, do you have an idea why these projects seem to inevitably get, and this one in particular, get over budget and so delayed?
There was a MTA Reinvention Commission that I served on that was convened between June of 2014 and November of 2014. And the Reinvention Commission was looking at a variety of different ways of improving the MTA, but also positioning the MTA to deal with changing demographics and climate resiliency, et cetera. And one of the strategies that the Reinvention Commission was examining was how to improve its procurement and contracting. And there's quite a few recommendations in that report.
So you don't think that there's an issue with sweetheart deals or corruption, at least not at this point?
We, as an organization, are less engaged in procurement and contracting. So, you know, my commentary on that is somewhat amateurish, just because we're not engaged in that aspect of transportation. But I would say it's really, there's a lot of complexities. The bidding process is one of the most complex processes from what I understand, and that needs to certainly be reformed. The bidding process requires many layers of approval. That's something that can delay a project, even in its planning phase, for quite some time. The bidder is not often the one who is constructing the project, and that creates some real problems with timelines and budgets also.
the MTA has a $32 billion capital plan for the next 4 years. What is in this plan?
There's a lot in the MTA's capital program, but specific for Long Island would be additional funds to complete East Side Access. So they've put aside $2.8 billion to complete, you know, move on and continue to advance East Side Access. Again, this is a project that is expected to be completed many years out, 2023. So there's still a good deal of work. There's money put aside to continue with the double track project in Suffolk, and that's incredibly important. There's money for new Island Railroad cars. You know, some of the fleet is more than 30 years old. There's money for positive train control systems, and we've heard a good deal about the value and the necessity of having those systems in place. It's, you know, a federal mandate, an unfunded mandate, and railroad systems across the country have been struggling to meet this unfunded mandate on deadline. So there's money in the capital program for that. And then there's also money for a new Long Island Railroad station in Elmhurst.
You're listening to Sustainable East End on WPKN. We're talking with Veronica Vanderpool of the Tri-State Transportation Campaign. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, asking you to keep this listener-supported community radio sustainable. Call now, 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756, or visit WPKN.org anytime and make a one-time or monthly contribution and become a sustaining member of WPKN. Thank you. Where does the money come from? Especially, where is the money going to come from for the $14 billion shortfall of that capital plan?
The portion that's funded, the $18 billion of the $32 billion that is funded, comes from a variety of dedicated taxes, but also funding from city and also funding from the federal government. So the federal government contributes a significant portion. New York City pays into it as well. But then there's a financing structure of several dedicated taxes that generate funds that are dedicated to the MTA's capital program. Every time we take a taxi, for example, a portion of that surcharge goes into this transit account. Anytime we may take a toll on any of the MTA's bridges or tunnels, a portion of that goes into this transit account. Anytime our employer is paying the payroll mobility tax, all of that is going into this transit account. So the MTA gets a significant amount of its revenue from other sources that have been dedicated to the legislative process. So to fill the remaining $14 billion budget gap, that becomes a legislative and executive action where the New York State Legislature has to approve either a new revenue source or take money out of the state's budget and put that toward the MTA during the budget season, during the annual appropriations process. The last budget season that just concluded, April 1st, as you know, and the MTA received $1 billion from the state in that budget process, which is the MTA's original funding hole was $15 billion, and then the state, through the budget process, allocated an additional $1 billion, which is what brings us to the $14 billion. $1 billion was a very small portion of the overall need of $14 billion. So what has to happen is the state legislature must decide that they are going to find an additional revenue source to help fund or close this budget hole, and the governor needs to approve that and enact it. The last time that was done was in 2009 with the payroll mobility tax. That is the most, that is the newest new revenue source to support the MTA's downstate 12-county region.
What about an increase in the gas tax?
The gas tax increase would be something certainly to consider. We're very supportive of that. In fact, it's one option that can generate a significant amount of revenue. The caution with the gas tax is over time, it would be a declining source of revenue. And there's already a variety of revenue sources in this MTA funding portfolio that are volatile. For example, there's real estate transfer taxes. So when the city didn't do well and people lost their jobs and people weren't buying or selling homes, that had an impact on the revenue source for the MTA. So the agency was also feeling it. So when we look at potential revenue sources, we need to look at sources that are going to be sustainable in the long term. So the gas tax is a revenue source for now, but just with the trends that we're seeing with people driving less and vehicle miles travel declining and fewer people opting to own a vehicle, over time, that's going to be a declining revenue source.
And as they do that, of course, they're going to need a better public transportation system.
Correct. Correct. There's quite a few options, and it's for the legislature to discuss them and act on them. Another option would be to remove the gas tax cap of 2% and free that up. Right now, there's a cap on the gas tax, and no more than 2% can go towards transit. So if you relieve that cap, more money can go toward, from the gas tax, can go to transit. Another option is what's being discussed right now as the Move New York plan, which would change the tolling structure on MTA and city bridges and put tolls on those bridges that currently do not have tolls and reduce tolls on some other bridges. So there's what's known as tolling equity. And from that revenue that's generated, taking that money and reinvesting it into the transportation network, roads, bridges, and transit.
Well, Veronica Vanterpool, you are Executive Director of the Tri-State Transportation Campaign. I want to thank you so much for talking with us here on Sustainable East End.
Thank you very much for reaching out.
This is Sustainable East End. Today we looked at funding of mass transit for Long Island and Connecticut with Veronica Vanterpool of the Tri-State Transportation Campaign. More information about the campaign is available at tstc.org. Thanks for keeping Sustainable East End and all WPKN's public affairs and music programs sustainable. Call 203-384-9756 or visit WPKN.org to make your contribution to WPKN, the real alternative. Sustainable East End is produced by Tony Ernst and yours truly, Francesca Rhiannon.